amen for that special today as well. What a blessing it has been just in church this morning. I trust that you've already received a blessing just by being in this place. If you have your Bibles, if you look with me to the book of Colossians in chapter 3, Colossians in chapter 3. And before we read the scriptures this morning, I've got a little something here I thought you might like to hear. It's seven things most women would never say. And I say most women would never say. And the first one would be, what do you mean today's our anniversary? The second would be, can we not talk to each other tonight? I'd rather just watch TV. The third thing is, oh, this diamond ring is just too big. Fourth is, and for our honeymoon, we're going fishing in Alaska. The fifth thing is, oh, don't stop for directions. I'm sure you'll be able to figure out how to get there. Sixth thing is that phone for me? Because I really don't want to talk. The seventh is, I don't care if it's on sale. I just want it. All right, now, this is what most would like to say and possibly even should say. Somebody has to shop. The remote doesn't have your name on it. If I don't take the call, you'll have to. Your mother is not the only one who knows how to cook. Buy a GPS, you need it. I like shoes, live with it. And then the last thing is, Weight Watchers is for men also. All right, just a couple of things there I thought you might want to hear. All right, now, Colossians chapter 3, if you look with me, go ahead and stand, we'll read the Word of God, verse 16 down to verse 20. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 down to verse 20. The Bible says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you. Let it dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you this morning, we do thank you for the blessings and the privilege to be in church today, and for what we've already received, and the blessing to know that we have your word before us in this Bible. And your word is what we have need of. And I pray this morning, God, that each and every one of us would open up our hearts and minds to receive what you have for us from your word. Pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Society is changing in the United States of America. I don't think anyone would disagree with that. I think if we would look back just 10, 20 years, it has changed quite a bit. But it's not something that we should be surprised by, because the Word of God reveals to us that it will change. Almighty God understands everything about past, present, and future. The Bible reveals to us the truth concerning past, present, and future. In the book of 2 Timothy, and you'll not have to turn there. Let me just read a couple verses here out of Timothy and then also Titus. But in 2 Timothy, write it down, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, as Paul writes to Timothy, he says, "This know also, that the last days, in the last days, perilous times shall come." As we get closer to the end of time and the end of this world, there's going to be difficult things. And then he starts listing them. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent," or no self-control, "traitor, heady-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof." And then the Bible says this, "From such, turn away." As Paul's writing to Timothy, and even in Timothy's day, he was going to see a change in society. And as we see these things changing, the born-again believer ought to realize that the Bible says things are going to change, and when it changes opposite than what the Word of God teaches, then we are to turn away. Can I tell you that mothers have always played a critical part in a godly society? In my youth department, of course, I was a youth pastor before I became a pastor, and I realized this, and I had also been taught this. I had read on youth ministry, and everything that I would read on would say that the girls would determine the spirituality of the youth department, and the boys will determine the dynamics of the youth department. And I think that's very important to understand that. I believe that women will, actually. It's even though God has given the headship to a man, it's the women who will determine the spirituality of the home. And it's the women who will determine the spirituality of society. In Titus in chapter 2, let me just read this to you as well because it's just helping us to see what the Bible says about this. In Titus in chapter 2 and verse 3, the Bible says, "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becoming holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women," and how young women need to be taught, "to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God," and this is the key here, doing what God would have us to do in the position that God has given to us, "that the word of God be not blasphemed." That word blaspheme means be dishonored. A society that dishonors the word of God is a godless society. Reproached, slandered, or if you will, laughed at in unbelief. Laughed at in unbelief that God expects me to be this kind of person. God expects me to do that. Laughed at in unbelief. Blasphemed. Can I tell you that God knows how important godly women are to society and to His church? In Colossians in chapter 3, as we read this text here, and this is just to help you to understand why we have this text, but it reveals some key things for believers to do. If you look back there to our text that we have given to you that we just read, verse 16 and 17, very important that all believers have this kind of attitude. But then verse 19 and 20, it reveals what husbands and children ought to do in regards to mom. And that's really what I want to preach to you about this morning, the importance of a mother and how she needs to be honored by her husband and by her children. The Bible says concerning these things in Colossians in chapter 3, concerning the wives and mothers, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Love your wife. She's not only your wife, but she is the mother of your children. And the most important thing that you can do for your children is to love their mother and honor their mother. What does loving your wife look like? Can I tell you, in every home, it might be a little bit different. There's a book that describes and helps you to understand that people have different love languages. How one person expresses their love might be different than another person expresses their love. Most of the times, it's how you've been raised, what you have experienced in looking at your mother and father and seeing how that your father loved your mother and how your mother loved your father and how they treated one another. And because of that, we're being raised in this kind of environment. And we look at that, and if your father loved your mother, then you're going to be influenced by how he showed his love. And most of the time, as we are raised, if not for a more powerful influence coming into our lives, and the Word of God is a more powerful influence, but unless there's a more powerful influence that comes into your life, you will follow in the direction that your parents raised you. Yes, you will become your father and you will become your mother. Unless there's a more powerful influence. When you do not have good family upbringing, then you need to change, and that influence will be the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God. But in every home, this loving your wives might look a little different. In some homes, there might be this mushy, I love you, I love you, I love you, kiss, 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 kiss all the time. Well, I can't do that. But it might cause some of us to want to just barf, you know. But now I know I'm going to hear that from my girls later on, but that's all right. But that's how they've seen their husband, their dad, kissing all over their mothers and putting all this different thing. You think, that's how I need to express my love for my wife. And that's how my husband ought to express his love for me. And then you get into marriage and your husband was not raised in your home and he doesn't know what you've been experiencing. And he's going to show his love for you how he was raised. And if you don't realize that and you don't get what you think he ought to be doing for you as your father did for your mother, you're going to be very disappointed and you're not going to think that you're loved. That is so vitally true. And that's something that every one of us need to realize. In some homes, that's what it's going to be like. In other homes, it's going to be like every time the dad comes home, he's got a gift for his wife. Flowers and candy and this and that. I mean, just, he makes it very difficult for the rest of us. But that's what he's used to. He realized that his father, as he was raised, showed his mother all this attention, and that's what she wanted. And she wanted a gift. Even if it was just something insignificant, he would bring her home a gift, and she would go, oh, you love me. But now, if your husband was not raised in that kind of environment, if you're expecting him to show your love for you by bringing you a gift every time he comes home, you're going to be disappointed. And you're not going to think your husband loves you. Because that's not how everyone shows love. That's not how it looks like in every home. Some homes, it will look like that. Other homes, They show their love by providing. They show their love by making sure that there's a roof over your head, there's food on your table, your needs are met, you're taken care of, you're safe. A safe environment. Can I tell you, that was my dad. And my wife is getting to realize, and after 40 years of marriage, that's who I am. My dad raised 13 children. He was a hard worker. We might not have always had what we wanted, but we had what we needed. There was always food on the table. There's always a roof over our head. We always had a bed to sleep in. And there was always a concern for our need. And that was God, that was my dad showing love, not only for his wife, but for his children and for the position that God had given to him. Love your wives. Well, what should I do? Should I kiss all over? Love your wives. Well, should I bring her a present every time I come home? Love your wife. Should I make sure that she knows that I love her because I'm working 24/7 to be able to provide for her, provide for her need and watch out for her? How does it look like? What does it look like? How should it be in your house? Well, how does God picture it? It might be different if we're basing our love on our parents, basing our love and what my wife or my husband would expect me in order to show my love for them. But how does God picture it? There's no doubt it's a command. It's no doubt that God looks at the home and he understands the importance of the mother. He understands the importance of making sure that she is taken care of because she is the spiritual direction. She will give the spiritual direction for the home, for the husband, for the children, for society, for the church. And God says, men, husbands, love your wife. And he gives us a picture of that. Ephesians chapter 5. He gives us a picture, which is more important than how you were raised. It's more important than what your expectations are. It's what God shows. It's what God reveals. Husbands, verse 25, Ephesians 5. Love your wives. It's there. And then he gives us a picture. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Be willing to give yourself to your wife. Whatever that might be. Whatever that might take. He goes on and says, if you look down to verse 28, so ought men to love their wives. This is God's will. He says, so ought men, listen to me, love your wives. And then he says, another picture, as your own bodies. Now, some might not be able to fully comprehend and understand how Jesus loved the church enough to lay down his life, to become the sacrificial lamb, to be able to die so that others might live. A selfless mentality, a willingness, a sacrifice mentality. But can I tell you this other picture, which goes right along with that, helps everyone to understand that. As your own body. As your own body. For men, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it, nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. Know her as you do your own body. That word nourish means to cause to grow. You know your own body, and you know in order to grow, you better be fed. Some emphasize being fed more than others. I know Brother Dave back there, it just come to mind. Whenever we had a work detail, you can tell when his food run out, he would just die. He would stop. Have to go get him a Big Mac or a quarter pounder, feed him there, and then he's back to work again. You know, it just, it fuels him. To cause to grow. Do you know what it's going to take for your wife to grow? Are you willing to do what it's going to take to cause her to grow in her walk with the Lord and the position she has that God's given to her as a wife and mother? Cherish is to value. Do we value our wives? Are we really willing to die for her? There's no doubt in my mind I would die for my wife. No doubt in my mind I cherish her. No doubt in my mind I want her to grow. Sometimes I'm lacking information or knowledge on what it takes. But God says, love your wives. Every woman in this auditorium has need of her husband's love. Yeah. Then he goes, the second thing was be not bitter. Can I tell you, bitterness usually creeps in by unrealistic expectations. If you're listening and looking to the world, you're expecting your wife to be that glamorous wife that you might see in a television show. And your expectations of your wife are far beyond what you ought to expect. And when those expectations are not met, then there is a bitterness that creeps in. Can I tell you, men? We should never expect more of our wives than God does. If you understand what God expects from a wife, don't go beyond that. Don't go beyond that. She is God's will for your life. Know that. If you're married this morning, you chose that spouse. God did not force you into a marriage. You chose that spouse. And if you chose that wife, and even wives, if you chose that husband, God, that is God's will for your life until death. And the reasons that you might want to get out of that relationship have to be based on being blinded by the devil to what's best for you and what is God's will for you. If you look back to God and you look to understand what God would have you to do and how He would have you to love your spouse, love your wife, it's what you need to stay married till death do you part. Because she is God's will for you. Honor the position that God has given her. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. I want you to see this. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Marriage in God's eyes is two becoming one. In reality, it is two on a journey of becoming one. Because you'll never be that one until you have knowledge of each other and what it takes for you to be what God wants you to be to the other. So dwell with them according to knowledge. Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. God says you're heirs together. God has joined the two of you together. And with that, if you don't understand that, then you're going to miss out on the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered, your walk with God be not hindered, your communication with God be not hindered. When you are looking to be and willing to sacrifice whatever it takes to be all that you can be to your wife, then you have a closer walk with God. Wow. Husbands, love your wives. Family needs that. Church needs that. Society needs that. And then he addresses the children. In the book of Colossians, our text here, verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Obey your mother. When children disobey mom or dad, they also disobey God. Did you get a hold of that, parents? When your child disobeys you, it's more than just disobeying you. When they disobey you, they are disobeying God. Even if parents will not discipline disobedience, God does. Ephesians in chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, it says this, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. It's the first on the list of all the commandments. There's promises connected to the commandments of God. And God says the priority number one, the very first one that I give you, if you want my blessings, if you want promises from God, obey your parents, that it may be well with thee. I mean, if you don't, it might not be well with you. And thou mayest live long on the earth. And if you do not, it might be that you are in danger of losing your life, a premature death, by not obeying your parents. That's how important it is to Almighty God. And if it's that important to God that children obey their parents and children obey mom as well as dad, then as parents, if we love our children, you might be willing to let them disobey you, but you had better look at a bigger picture. They are disobeying God. And God will discipline that. He will. You see, that's why I believe fathers need to make sure children obey their mothers. God given you the headship, and if you will, the Bible says, you fathers, bring them up, raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord to do the will of God. And if they fail to do that, discipline them. As I look back over my years of growing up as a child, some of the most painful spankings that I got from my father is when he come home from work and mom told him that I didn't do what she told me to do. He would wail into me. Whew. To the place where I still remember it. How many of you, if you failed to obey your mother, did your dad discipline you? Yeah. And that didn't harm you for life, did it? What that did, it helped keep you coming to church. You're in church today because of it. I wonder where some of the others are. In the grave? In prison? We better rethink disciplining in our homes. Stop letting the world dictate how we discipline our children and let God, who loves them, the only one that loves them more than you do, let His word and His will be done. Yeah. Lastly, mothers. You might be thinking right now, if only I had a husband that loved me. If only I had children that obeyed me. You got it wrong. Stop looking to determine your life and your peace and your joy by a husband's love or by a child's obedience. In closing, look back to our text. Verse 16. Mothers, let the word of Christ dwell in you. Richly in all wisdom. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Whether you got a husband that loves you, whether you got children that obey you, sing unto the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Do not do it for your husband. Do not do it primarily for your child. Do it because of your love for Christ. For He does love you. He's proven His love. And He can give you that which no one else can give. He can give you a peace. He can give you a joy. You serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. Be the person that God wants you to be. Because in the end, that is what's most important to your family and to you. When you stand before Jesus Christ as a saved mother, you'll not be able to say, if only my husband loved me. If only my children honored me. You'll stand and give an account for you. Let your love for God strengthen you to be the wife and mother that God wants you to be. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. It's Mother's Day. It is your day. Can I tell you, your husband ought to love you, and your children ought to obey you. But that should not keep you from being all that God wants you to be as a wife and mother. Father, we bow before you. We thank you for this passage of Scripture and how it applies to our lives. Whether we're fathers, husbands, children, or mothers, help us, Lord, to be committed to your will for our lives and the position that you've given to us. Bless now in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray.